John chapter 11, verse 25 through 27 says, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the word of God. We just thank you that it brings us life, that it is life, that you are the word of God. We just thank you that we can learn from it. We thank you that we can grow from it. We thank you that we can have salvation from it. We just thank you for this wonderful Easter 2021 and just this time that we can gather together and hear the word of God. I just pray that you'll allow the Holy Spirit to speak through me and be encouraging, be convicting, and change people's hearts and minds, Lord. And we just thank you for the many blessings. And we pray in your precious Son's name, amen. Almost 2,000 years later, Jesus looks at you and me in the same way that he looked at this lady and says, do you believe this? Today we celebrate the most epic event in all of human history, the life, death, and resurrection of God, the Creator of Jesus Christ, who came to earth in the person of Jesus Christ. To die for your sins, to die for my sins, to raise from the dead in victory over both sin and death. Do you believe this? Throughout life and throughout time of being a pastor, you get a lot of different questions. And a lot of these questions are from genuine people. Maybe they're really looking for spiritual reality or trying to figure out what it is, the answers. Maybe there's some young people that were raised in the faith and end up in college or something, and a professor rocks their boat. But there's a lot of different questions out there that people want to ask. And on this Resurrection Sunday, I just want to tackle a few of them. And question number one is there really a God? You can look at 1 Corinthians 15:9. Sorry, 15:19. 1 Corinthians 15:19, the Apostle Paul says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If you read that entire passage, if this is not true, if this is not faithful, if the word of God is not real, we are the ones that are most miserable. We are still stuck in our sins. If all of it is an accident, the Big Bang really happened or whatever, we might as well just eat, drink, and be merry. But we can see throughout the world, we can see throughout creation, we can see throughout all, everything points to the God. Everything points to an existent that God created everything. We've been talking about it in Sunday school, but the Bible is a collection of 66 books written by 40 different authors on three different continents in different languages over a period of 1,500 years. And somehow it came together and makes the Word of God. It doesn't contradict itself. It doesn't change the story. There's one story in there, and that's about salvation, that Jesus Christ came to save mankind. All 66 books have a marvelous unity. You can look at the human body. You can look at creation. You can see how things grow. If you've given birth, you can see the miracle in birth. That couldn't have just happened. Look at Genesis 1:1. Pretty simple passage, but in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He created everything. He created the heaven. He created the earth. He created you. He created me. And it says, in the beginning, God. But God was always there. Another miraculous thing. Where did he come from? Where is he at? He was always there. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You can look at Romans 1:20. Romans 1:20 says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. We can see creation. We can see his existence. We can see what he has put together. Colossians 1:16 says, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." We don't have to worry about all the scientists that say, oh, the Big Bang happened, or this happened, or all that. The Word of God tells us what happened. The Word of God is real. The Word of God is true. The Bible is the inspired Word of God. You can see in 2 Timothy 3:16, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The Word of God is God-breathed. The Word of God came from the Holy Spirit. You can see it in 2 Peter as well. 2 Peter 1. You can see in verse 20, 2 Peter 1:20, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." The Word of God is inspired. The Word of God is alive. The Word of God is real. The Word of God is true. And whether you want to believe it or not, it's still the truth. Whether you want to try to justify out there what is truth, it's still truth. You can't change truth. You can't change the Word of God. Maybe there's some things we don't fully understand or fully comprehend, but the Word of God is full of all the answers. Question number two, who is the true God? And I think this is a very important question in today's age, because we live in a world with many competing truth claims and many so-called gods. The identity of the one true God truly matters. The one true God is distinguished from all the false gods that have been foisted upon mankind from deluded men. Everybody out there says, well, maybe that works for you, but I have a different way. The Lord Jesus Christ says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way but by me." That is the truth. The Bible says that one true God is the sovereign, self-existent creator of the universe. You can see that in Isaiah. He is the Spirit. You can see that in John. He is eternal. You can find that in Psalms. He is personal. The one true God possesses all knowledge and all power, is present in all places, and is unchanging. There are many false gods out there. Hinduism alone supposedly recognizes as many as 330 million gods. But not one of those 330 million gods possess the attributes of the one true God. None of those other gods have been raised from the dead. None of those other gods have the Word of God. The Bible says that God is just. You can find that in Acts. He's loving. You can find that in Ephesians. He's truthful. He's holy. God shows compassion and mercy and grace. God also offers forgiveness. The one true God exists in triunity. The Bible says there is one God who reveals himself and functions in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Look at John 1:1. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God." The Word of God is here. It's alive. "The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1, starting with verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through all the blood of, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. He is all things. He is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He has created everything, invisible as well. Can I know this God personally? Can I have a relationship with him? In John 3:16, it says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him shall not perish, but may have eternal life. John 10:10 says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. We can know this God. We can have a relationship with this God. That's what Christianity is all about. That's what Christmas and Easter is all about. But we could have it every day of our life. Jesus is here reconciling the world unto himself. He has already done his part. It's up to us after that. And probably the hardest and last question is, can I really be forgiven? I hear it all the time if I invite somebody to church. Oh, if I show up, that church is going to burn to the ground. Oh, if I show up, I'm going to be struck by lightning. People think they have gone too far down the path of sin or the darkness, but that's not true. We're all sinners. We've all messed up. We've all failed. But Jesus Christ has paid the price for us. Romans 3:23, it says, For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I like to compare our sins to the Grand Canyon. You know, we all try to jump over that canyon. And some may get farther than others. Some may be able to outjump somebody. But that holiness of the Lord Jesus Christ is that big. He is perfect. He is holy. And for us to meet that is impossible. We can't do it. Yes, some may live a better life, but there's no comparison when we compare ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's perfect. He's holy. We all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You can see in Romans 5:12, Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Even if you were capable to live a perfect life, let's say you were born and you live 50 years perfectly, you are still born into Adam. You're still born a sinner. And none of us can live a perfect, sinless life anyways, but we are born into that sin nature. We are born into Adam. I don't have to teach Eliza to disobey me. She's very good at it. That's what we're born with. We're born into that human nature. We're born into the flesh. We're born into the desires of the world. But the Lord is constantly trying to pull us back to him. Romans 6:23, it says, For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The world is starting to go to a place that they say there is no hell. There is no, we don't have to worry about that anymore. Or love wins. And it's not true. This is what the Word of God says. It's not my opinion. It's not what God is a just God and he has to be fair. and something had to pay for our sins. Verse 20, for the wages of sin is death. And if you don't pay attention and listen up this morning, you may miss out. He goes on, but the gift of God is eternal life. He has a gift for you today. He's giving it to you. There's nothing you have to do to earn it. There's nothing you have to do to receive it. Look at Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Something else I hear all the time. Hey, once I get my life on track, I'm going to show up to church. Once I stop doing this, I'm going to start showing up to church. We're all hypocrites. Each and every one of us in this room are all hypocrites. I'm sorry. If you're offended, I apologize. We're all sinners. We all fall short. But God commended his love towards us. While we're yet sinners, he went to the cross. He didn't wait for you to get your life together. He didn't wait for you to figure it out. He didn't wait for you to do something right. It's our job to show up to church. It's our job to get in the Word of God. It's our job to change our life, to be convicted. Verse 9 says, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. We all know that we're born into Adam. We all know that we're a sinner. We've told a lie. We've taken something. We've been mean to our brother or sister. We've talked back to our parents. Whatever it is, we're a sinner. We all deserve death. And faith just means taking God at his word. You say, yes, Lord, I believe what the word of God says. Doesn't mean you have to understand every gamut of it. I'm still learning each and every Sunday. But when you say, yes, Lord, I believe the word of God. I believe what you did for me. You went to the cross of Calvary. You paid for my sins upon that cross. And now I have eternal life. You can see it again in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. So here is the gospel. He's presenting it to you. The Apostle Paul says, this is the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. So again, we need to be saved from hell. We need to be saved from our sins. We need to be saved from ourselves. If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. This is the gospel. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That is the gospel. If you know that you're a sinner, if you know that you need salvation, you don't have to give to the church. You don't ever have to show up again. You don't have to be a good enough person. None of us can be good enough to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we say, yes, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and you went to the cross and you paid for my sins upon that cross. I'm sorry for what I've done. I believe that you went to the cross, that you died, and that you rose again the third day. You can have eternal life. That is what the resurrection is about. That is what Jesus Christ has come to give us. Jesus Christ came to give us forgiveness. Jesus Christ came and reconciled the world unto himself. He's already done his part. 2,000 years ago, he paid for your sins, past, present, and future. It's taken care of. At this time, we're going to take communion. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27 and 28 says, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Maybe you gave yourself to the Lord today. Maybe you put your faith and trust and you say, yes, Lord, I believe in this. You are welcome to be a part of communion. But if you still have questions, you're still not sure, You know, it says, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink of this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. If you have not put your faith and trust in the Lord, just let it pass by you. Nobody's going to say anything to you. Nobody's going to look at you. Just let it pass by. But if you are a believer, verse 28 says, but let a man examine himself. This is our time to look at ourselves, to look at our life. There's something going on in your life, and confess it to the Lord. You don't have to confess it to anybody else, but confess it to the Lord and say, I need to work on this. I need to change this. You already know what that is in your head. So if the gentleman will come forward at this time. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Ernie, would you pray for his body?
Beaten and marred more than any other human in world history. Father, the suffering that he went through to pay a sin debt that we're not able to pay. Father, the love that kept him on the cross when all he had to do was just say, no, that's it, we're going to start over. But he stayed on the cross, paying for us, dear Father. And I pray to you that if there's any in our midst this morning, Father, who's yet to know Jesus Christ as Savior, that God the Holy Spirit would convict them of their need of a Savior, that being Jesus Christ. And that before they leave today, they would make a decision to believe. As I said, Sunday school, Father, we're told in your word that today is the day of salvation. We may not have a tomorrow to make that decision. I just pray to you, Father, for your love for us, for your caring for us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Go ahead.
After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Dear and most graciously, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your life. We thank you for this wonderful Easter Sunday morning that 2,000 years ago you went to the cross of Calvary, that you were beaten, that you were mocked, that you were spit on, that you went to, you drug our sins upon that cross. We're all born into sin. There's nothing we can do in and of ourselves, but we just thank you that you took them upon that cross that we could have eternal life. You paid the price. You redeemed us. You brought us back. You reconciled us. You could have called 10,000 angels and called down and said, I'm out. But the love of Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, kept you on that cross to give us eternal life, to give us hope, to give us an opportunity. And all we have to do is say, yes, Lord, I believe in the Word of God. I believe that you are real. I believe that the Word of God is inspired. I believe that you went to the cross of Calvary and that you were raised again the third day. We just thank you for the many blessings that you give to each and every one of us, especially our salvation. And we pray in your precious Son's name. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand.